Skippy Norman. Sermon title, Six Principles for Making Every Decision the Best. Scripture is Proverbs 2, verses 4 through 9. And our scripture reader is Brother Hubel Freeman. Presiding at the Lord's table, Wiley Edwards and Nick Cimentero. Closing prayer, Greg Shriver. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for the opportunity to assemble in your name. And Father, we ask thy blessings upon all who are here to bless them, Father, in a special way. We pray, Father, that everyone present today will have an open and receptive heart to the lesson and to the service and will benefit and grow therefrom. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. If you would turn your hymnals to page 971. 971. We'll sing all three verses.
Trials are on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. For He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand His eye. By and by, we're singing by and by, and by, Lord, when the morning comes, and you know all the saints of God, and we hope and we will tell the story of your birth. We will understand it better. I am all the cherished plans that fail, disappointments that we bear. And we wander in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better. I am we're singing by and by. And by, Lord, Christ, Lord, He told me, you know all the saints of God. Every hope that we will tell the story of we overcome. We will understand it better, I am God. Temptation is a sin, often takes us unaware. And our hearts are made to bleed, for some God is where we. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, we will understand it better. I am in my heart, if God would be the morning of it. You know all the saints of God, and we will tell. We will understand it better by and by. Singing by and by, and by, Lord, in the morning comes. You know all the things of God. Every hope and we will tell the story.
If you would turn to hymn book to page 796. 796. After this song, we'll go to God in prayer. Sing all three verses.
Come the train, my earthly home, far better, my bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for children in the air. I'll join him in heaven where tears nor sorrows can be found. And I'll see my mansion, robe and crown.
Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Lord, and first and foremost, thanking you for another day of life, another day to rise up out of our bed, Father, with our health, to be able to get dressed, Father, to be able to come and be able to freely worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just want to take this time, God, just to thank you just for being who you are, Lord, for loving us so much, God, even though we don't deserve it, Lord. We just want to thank you, God. God, we just want to thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be forgiven for our sins, Lord, for you know we're not perfect. Lord, we just want to thank you so much just for guiding us and ordering our steps day by day. By day, Lord. We just want to take this time to thank you for that, God. God, we want to ask at this time, Father, that you will continue to bless the remainder of this service, Lord, that everything that we do today, God, we do in spirit and in truth and is worthy unto thee, O God. And Lord, we all want to take this time also, Lord, for you to ask you, Lord, to please bless those, God, that are sick, that are afflicted, Lord. God, We know that you know everything, and you are in charge of everything, God. We ask that it be thy will, O Lord, that you will bring them to their appointed health, Lord. We ask at this time, God, that you will have a special blessing. We ask for a special blessing now for the Hopkins family, Lord, that you will just continue to comfort them, O God, that you will continue to just lead them, O Lord, and continue to love on them, O God. If it be thy will, Lord, that you bring young Charlie back to his appointed health, Lord. God, we ask that you will continue to bless the leadership of this congregation, O God, that you continue to guide them, Lord, in the way they're supposed to go, to help to help lead this flock. Lord, we ask that you bless Brother Norman, and that you bless the Normans in general, O Lord, as they continue to adventure with their retirement, Lord, that you continue to keep your ever-loving arms around them. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless Brother Skippy as he brings the message this morning. If any out there, Lord, that hears his words, that his words that you have given him, Lord, brings them closer to you. Lord, we ask as always, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, both known and unknown. Lord, we know that you are in charge of all things. Lord, we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymn books to page 504. 504. Sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
When peace like a river comes there and go, I'm with my soul.
Come now to the portion of our worship this morning where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. I want to just briefly read a couple verses here, help provide some scriptural reference for what the Lord's Supper is. I'll take this from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he gave the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And we read in other places in the New Testament, such as Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, referring to the first day of the week as the time when the apostles came together to partake of the Lord's Supper, making it an act of worship that we do on the first day of the week. Consists of two emblems, as we just read, the bread, which represents the body of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, and then the cup, or the fruit of the vine, and that represents his shed blood. So at this time, we have that opportunity to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, clear our hearts, clear our minds, and really just reflect and focus back on him. So we'll give thanks for the bread, partake, and then we'll do so for the fruit of the vine. Let's bow and give thanks for the bread. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we just so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful for our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, Father, for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to become that perfect Lamb of God, live the life that he did, Father, instruct and be the example that he was, Father. And at this time, as we partake of this bread which represents his body, Father, we pray that you'd help us to clear our hearts, clear our minds, reflect back on Christ Jesus, Father. Remember our thankfulness for his sacrifice. And that in doing so, Father, that we might partake of this bread in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. O kind and graceful and merciful Father, we're so grateful and so thankful and so privileged for this cup that brings to our memory the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. His precious blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For it is in His name we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. Amen.
Try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but somebody might have been inadvertently missed in the passing of the bread of the cup. So if you happen to be missed in either emblem, if you'd raise your hand at this time, and we'll make sure that you're served now. I don't see any hands, so this concludes the Lord's Supper. And next we'll move into another portion, another act of worship on the first day of the new week, and that concerns giving. Provide some biblical reference for giving. I just want to briefly read two sets of passages, the first coming from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll start with verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church there. Now concerning the collection for the saints, As I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And that establishes giving there as part of our worship on the first day of the week. And then just the second set of passages quickly here would be from the next book over, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll start at verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So although, brothers and sisters, it's an act of worship and a scriptural commandment, it's really, as a second set of passages that we just read, it's really an opportunity to show a bit of our gratitude and appreciation to our Lord. It's really an opportunity to give back just when you think about it, a really small portion of all the many, many rich blessings of life that he's bestowed upon each and every one of us. So that's an important point to consider here as we have the opportunity to give back now. So let's bow in prayer and give thanks for that opportunity. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for all the many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous to count, Lord. They're like grains of sand along the seashore, Father. But we know and recognize, Lord, that all these blessings flow from thee. And Father, at this time, as we have a opportunity to give back a small portion of what you've richly blessed us with, Father, we pray that the contribution that's collected, Father, will help to further the work of the church here, Father, and may help to broaden the borders of thy kingdom, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
If you would, Murphy Hill Books and Pages, 999 will be our talk on the third. After Murphy, we turn to page 22.
morning. The scripture this morning is taken from Proverbs 2, verses 4 through 9. That's Proverbs 2, 4 through 9. I'll be reading from the King James translation. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Now, Brother Skippy Norman, with the message this morning, 6 principles for making every decision the best.
Good morning. Truly, our God is alive. He woke us up this morning. He started us on our way. We have so much to be thankful for. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. And for those who have tuned in to our conference call, we welcome you as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Kind and merciful Father in heaven, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, you've given us one more time to assemble ourselves together this morning. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there be things we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me your word, the things that I say. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 6 principles for making every decision the best. I want to look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 9. And I want to look at it from the New Living Translation because it helps us to understand. He says in Proverbs 2 and verse 9, you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will know how to find the right course of action every time. God has given us practically a life map, and He's given us this map to live our lives for Him, and He's pointed to our final destination. The Bible tells us which roads we should travel. It explains everything we need to know for this trip through our life on our way to heaven. And by just knowing the direction, just knowing the highway is not enough, because we need some road signs to help us to make sure that we are headed in the right direction. And so the question comes, are we making right decisions? Because if you want to make a right decision, if you want to make sure that you're always going in the right direction, if you want to make sure that your decisions are always the best, then I'm going to give you simply these 6 road signs. The first road sign that we come across to, we call it one way. It's the one way sign or the directional sign, and you got to be willing to follow the directions of God, and you got to follow it in God's word, because the Bible gives you what you and I need to know. And so the first question you need to ask yourself is, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about my problems? What does the Bible say about my decision? What does the Bible say about the choice that I need to make? Does what I am about to do fit into what the Bible says that I should do? Is this the direction the Bible says that I should go? See, oftentimes, our answer to those questions is pretty obvious. There are some definite things in the Bible that tells us what we should not do. And those things are called sin. And remember, sin is best defined as anything that will hurt you or someone else. If the Bible says no, then I shouldn't do it. But on the other hand, there are some definite things that the Bible tells us we should do. The Bible tells us we need to be kind. The Bible tells us we need to be honest. The Bible tells us that we need to give to God what belongs to God. And if the Bible tells me I should go in a certain direction, then I better follow that direction. Why? Because God already knows where my choice will lead me. He already knows what's going to happen next. His word tells me what to stay away from and what to get involved with. And so if you understand that there is actually a whole chapter in the Bible that deals specifically with following God's direction. And it's no accident that the longest chapter in the Bible, y'all know what it is Psalms 119. And if you, I got it in the bulletin, I'm not going to read the whole Psalm 119 because it'll take a long time. But what I'm going to do, I got it in the bulletin. There are some scriptures that you can highlight if you don't want to read the whole Psalms of 119. There are verse 26, verse 32, verse 35, verse 45, verse 60, verse 101, verse 105, verse 103. So you can go back and get it out of the bulletin, or you can listen to it on the website, or you can just read the whole book of Psalms 119. And so it tells us specifically how to follow God's direction. And so here's the point. The point is that if you are unwilling to follow God's word as the starting point, then listen, you may as well forget the rest of the sign. Because the road sign will mean nothing if you're going in the wrong direction and down the wrong road. Are y'all with me? And so the second road sign that we come to in life, we call it keep right. Y'all seen that road sign? Keep right. And so what this sign tells us, it asks the question, is my choice honest? Would I want others to know that I'm going down this path? Another word for honesty is integrity. And so if you are heading down a path and you are worried what others might think or what others might find out, then you're probably heading down the wrong direction. For in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10 in the New Living Translation, Proverbs 10 and verse 9 and 10, it tells us people with integrity have firm footing, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall. People who wink at wrong cause trouble. Let me say that again. People who wink at wrong causes trouble.
in James chapter 4 and verse 17. It is sin to know what you ought to do and then don't do it. And so we need to understand the honesty sign. It asks the question, does my public life and my private life match? It asks the question, is who I am on Sunday match who I am the rest of the week? It asks the question, am I walking on the right side of the road? Or am I walking on the wrong side of the road? See, somehow, we actually think that we can make dishonest choices and get away with it. See, we believe that we can plant seeds of sin and discord today and not have to worry about them tomorrow. Well, I got news for you. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, it warns us in the New Living Translation, don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. You think you can get away with what you're doing is wrong, but I got news for you. You got to answer one day to Almighty God. You may decide to be just be honest, not be honest. But you can't drive on the wrong side of the road without eventually getting hit. So you got to understand that. And so the question comes, would I want everyone to know that I made this choice? Is it honest? Or is it not honest? But then there is the third road sign. The third road sign for life is the construction sign. Y'all have seen that. The construction sign. And what that construction sign is asking us is, will this choice, will this direction build me up or tear me down? Will it make me a better person? And I know, preacher, what you're trying to say, that you want God to do a work in you. You want him to free you from habits, free you from addiction, free you from the problems that you are facing. And you want Jesus to feel closer and have a greater part of your life daily. That's what you want. Am I right? You want him to make you a better person. Well, this road sign asks the question, while you are asking God to make you better, are you asking yourself the same question? You're asking God, God, I want to be better. But are you trying to be better? And so we have to understand, are you asking yourself if the decisions you are making actually benefit you? Will that decision, will that direction help you to get you to where you want to be next? Will that decision really improve your life? Well, let's see what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23 says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, again in the New Living Translation, he said, you say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is helpful. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Think about that. How many decisions did you make
when you actually stopped and asked, is this really the best thing for me? Is it the best thing for my family? Is it the best thing for my testimony? You see, we often choose the good and lose out on the best. Let me say it again. We often choose the good, but we lose out on the best. This road sign does not ask what is good to do. There's a lot of good things we can do. But this sign helps point us in the direction of what is best. What good thing are you doing that are keeping you from doing what is best? Y'all with me? See, a lot of things in life are okay. But are they the best? And so life is too far short. It's too short to waste on good things when you can be enjoying the best things. And so the decision we make should be based on how they will help me to grow. How it would help me to be like Jesus Christ. And so the question comes, will this decision make me a better person? All right? Well, the fourth sign. See, we're almost through. Because I know y'all in the beginning, 6 points, six principles, he's going to be here all day. See, we're already on the fourth one. The fourth sign for life addresses the bondage principle. And that is the sign that says no exit. No exit. This sign asks the question, is there a way out? If I follow this direction, is there a way out? Will this decision put me into a position where I'm bound? See, some things seem very attractive, harmless at first, but very quickly, instead of controlling them, they control you. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Y'all see that? Will what I'm about to do become addicting? Will it control my life? And so it doesn't matter if it's acceptable for others. It doesn't matter if it's popular, if it's addicting, if it's controlling. The Bible says, I must not become a slave to anything. You know the very first commandment? Command in the Ten Commandments said, do not worship any other God beside me. And so he sets this as the first commandment. Why? Because he knew how easy it would be for us to make other gods. And so he says that do not worship any other God. And so he knew how quickly that we would be addicted to our idols. Well, you know what idols is. Our idols don't have to be made of stone. It doesn't have to be made of wood. An idol can be anything that keeps in the way of my relationship with God. Anything you put before God becomes your idol. God says, I want to be first. That's why he says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. And so what's the point? The point is, you always need to ask the question, where will this decision take me? Will it hold me in chains? Will it hold me in bondage? Because God said, don't be slaves to anything. Well, then, as we're going on down the road, we find the fifth road sign. The fifth road sign is the sightseeing sign. Y'all have seen that. There's the sightseeing sign. Well, what is this question? What will others do when they see me? Will what I'm doing hurt someone else? Whether you like it or not, church, people are watching you. I said they're watching you. They're looking at you. Your spouse is watching you. Your children are watching you. Your neighbors, your relatives, your friends, they're watching you. But I got news for you. People you don't even know are watching you. They're looking at you, and they often make their decisions in their own lives based on what you are doing. Because they're watching you and I. But it also gets more specific. People are looking at you, and they are making decisions about what is wrong and right for a believer to do. You don't have to go around and walking around with a sign that says, I'm a Christian. People are going to know that by the way you conduct yourself, by the way that you live your lives. And we don't realize that our decisions that we make can have devastating consequences on others. In Romans chapter 14, it tells us, in again a New Living Translation, each of us will have to give a personal account to God. So don't condemn each other anymore. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not put an obstacle in another Christian's path. There is no such thing as my life. Our life affects others. And the sightseeing sign points us in a direction that says it really does matter to others how I live. Because they are watching. They are watching me. And I want to live in such a way, knowing people are watching me, that I want to lead them to heaven. I want them to understand. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He says in verse 60, let your light so shine. Why? Because of you? Not because there are others that are watching you. And so you need to let your light shine. And so the question comes, who's watching you? You never know. You never know who's watching you. And so people And the sightseeing sign points you down the road that says, I really will live for others. It's not about me, but I want to live for others. I remember the words of the Apostle Paul. Twice he wrote, follow me, follow my example. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, and even 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, in verse 4 and chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, so I ask you to follow my example and do as I do. In verse 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, and you shall follow my example just as I follow Christ. If you're living for Christ, if you're following Christ, you don't mind people watching you and following you, because it's all about Christ. And so that's confidence in that sightseeing sign. You just can't just live your life for yourself. You got to remember that other folk are watching you. And so how will my decision affect me? And how would it affect others? And then finally, the sixth sign you don't really see too much, but I put it in here anyway. You might not see. It's the payday sign. The payday sign. You know, we got all kind of payday lenders, right? The payday sign. And what this decision says is this. How will this decision that I am about to make, how will it make a difference in eternity? How will it make a difference in eternity? Is this the best use of my life? And then the third question, what is the payoff? Everything we do eventually pays off. Y'all hear me? Because you will always reap what you sow. That's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Sin pays off. It leads to death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Sin leads to separation. Sin kills our relationship with God. That's why we need God's forgiveness for our sins, because God gives us free gifts. So sin pays what we don't want to earn. In Ephesians 6 and verse 8, he says, the Lord will reward each of us for the good that we do. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith is impossible to please God. And so the payday sign asks the question, is this the best way to invest my life for eternity? And I want to give you one last scripture, and this lesson is yours. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, New Living Translation. So be very careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Use every chance you have for doing good, because these are evil times. So do not be foolish, but learn what the Lord wants you to do. Life is simply preparation for eternity. How we live now makes all the difference in the world, and how we are blessed and rewarded in eternity. So the payday sign, we're all going to get. We're going to get a payday sign one day when we stand before that great God of heaven. And so the payday sign asks the question, is this the best use of my time when I consider all of time? Am I treating people like God would have me to treat them? How will what I'm about to do and say affect my life tomorrow, next year, and eternity? These are some signs that we see on this life road to heaven. And so the question comes today. You've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is the time. You've heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here and a Christian, you've not been living as a Christian should. Some of these signs that we've talked about today, you can say, I'm guilty. I want to do better because I want to make heaven my home. I want to be an influence, a good influence to others. Because if I'm trying to make heaven my home, I want to see them make heaven their home. But in order for them to make, in order for them to do that, you got to live your life. You got to be the example that you need to be. Because one day, payday is coming. We all got to stand before God. You either pay him now, or one day, you're going to pay him. But then it's going to be too late. Now is the time to get it right. Now is the time to obey him while the blood is still warm and warm in your vein. Let us stand.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go, but I am sure of this one thing. That God is real, for I can feel him deep within. My God is real, he's filling my soul. And my God is real, for he has crossed and made me whole. His love for me, his life before. And my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Some folks may die, some folks may scroll. All will in the Lord and be alone. But as for me, I'll take a path, and God is real, for I can feel him in my heart. And my God is filled, he's filling my soul. And my God is filled, for he has crossed and made me whole. His love for me, his life before. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Thank you.